Welcome to the Mostly Potted at Night. Mostly, I am Salem, joined by my co-host Graveyard. This is episode 150. That's 150 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. So last week we did the Japanese Ju-on The Grudge films, and this week we are doing the American. So does the curse follow the franchise back to the States? We find out figuratively and literally in the American version of the Grudge franchise. So that's four films. It's The Grudge, The Grudge 2, The Grudge 3, and back to The Grudge again in 2020.
Yeah, I can say before, you know, I didn't realize how many subtitles I needed for these episodes, for these movies, for this. Yeah. I forgot.
Yeah, there is some, oddly enough, in there. Even though they are the American films, there are some conversations that take place solely in Japanese. So,
yeah, all of them.
Yeah. And again, the fourth film is just called The Grudge again, but it is not a reboot. It is a sidequel.
Yeah.
that for some reason is named the same as the first film. So I'm not sure if it maybe started down a different path or something, but it's, yes, that's where we're at.
Well, so, because it's a sidequel, it actually takes place at the same time. So it's actually the same movie. It takes place in the same movie. So that, there you go.
Well, yeah, two parts of it do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But then there's a whole other part that doesn't.
Mm-hmm. So that's, I said, that was probably their reasoning behind it. So. Or they should call it like The Grudge also.
Well, they, you know, The Grudge, I don't know. They always do like, you know, the tagline goofy things. They should have did something.
Yeah.
The Grudge, I don't know, colon something.
American Style.
Yeah, something stupid. That doesn't matter. I mean, but anything other than what, rename it the title of the first one, even though it's not a reboot. It's weird.
Everyone does it in horror franchises and it's stupid.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
Well, not everyone. I guess Predator hasn't done that yet.
No, there's Predator and The Predator, but they are very similar, but still distinctly different.
Yep.
Okay, so I guess I'm going to start off with The Grudge from 2004.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of these are still going to be pretty short because, once again, not a lot happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's roughly tries to follow the same story as before, only it does explain a lot more of what's going on.
Oh yeah.
So we get the same story of, like, you know, this time it's Sarah Michelle Gellar is at the care center. You know, the one girl that's supposed to take care of, you know, the old lady in the house, doesn't show up, so she has to go fill in. She fills in. It's basically the same kind of scenes that happen. The house is almost the same.
Almost.
It's very close. It's almost the same. So, yeah, they go there. We get the same basic story where the old lady is, like, you know, kind of haunted and, like, barely conscious.
Kind of catatonic.
Right. And then she goes there and, like, cleans up the house and stuff and ends up, of course, getting infected with the curse and then bringing it back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we get her connection to Bill Pullman is in the beginning of the film and he just jumps off a balcony.
Right, which at that point in time you think, what a waste of Bill Pullman.
Right. I was like, Bill Pullman is here for this one scene. I mean, he comes back later in the film, but it is still like, I mean, it's almost a cameo. I mean, it really is very and very little, but so yeah, it does. It doesn't separate it in the different vignettes and do it from different POVs, but it does still follow different people's story.
Right.
So yeah, we get Sarah Michelle Gellar, you know, as the caretaker of the house. Although she does, you know, stay alive for the movie, right? Yeah.
Yep.
So you know, in the first, you know, in the one where the caretaker was, like, you know, she was gone, and it just followed other people around. This one, she is in the whole film, but it's the same basic plot line. I mean, it's the same director that did all the Japanese ones.
Not so, the same writer, but the original director. Yeah, which is
There's a lot of reused things that he just reshot of his own things. But yeah, so it's essentially that. So we get more of the backstory, essentially being like, you know, Yakako and Toshio are still the same ghosts. Mm-hmm. I guess it does kind of reboot it, but I guess it wouldn't be terribly off saying that this could be like even a sequel to all of the Japanese ones.
Right, because they use like the same props. They use the same photograph.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's the same actress that plays Kayako.
Right, and it's the same guy that plays the husband, and right. He has an extended scene.
Right, yeah. So essentially it's the same thing. The husband gets all crazy upset, you know, kills her and kills the kid, right? We get a little bit more of a detailed scene of him doing that.
Yep.
But we also get the backstory of the reason why he does that is because she's obsessed with Bill Pullman.
And he doesn't know it.
He doesn't know it at all.
No.
But like when Sarah Michelle Gellar is like trying to investigate, you know, she goes, she finds the journal, you know, she finds the picture, and she's looking, you know, back at, you know, she goes to try to talk to, you know, the families and other people, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. Imagine that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like all crazy. Of the fucking Japanese ones, no one gave a shit. Nope. And tried to investigate anything at all. So this one, at least there's like some investigation. It's pretty light, but at least there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to investigate stuff. She ends up finding all these pictures of like Bill Pullman, and you see her in the background of like every single picture. So she's like super stalking.
Peter.
Right. Yeah. So she's like super stalking him, which is weird because he's married and she is married. Where does she find the time? But so essentially that he finds the journal where she describes how much she loves him and shit and sees the picture of him. And he gets super mad and that's why he does it.
Yeah.
Bill Pullman gets involved because obviously they're like, hey, you know, do you know this person? And he's like, not really. But so he goes to the house and he gets infected as well.
Right. Instead of being Toshio's school teacher, he is a professor that she's obsessed with. So he has right. the same beat as that school teacher.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, the same, you know, kind of thing we did. That's basically we all the way at the end of the film, we mm-hmm. flash back to what happened to him before he jumped off the balcony.
Yeah.
It's basically all that. Sarah Michelle Gellar then tries to like go back to the house to like destroy it or like try to do something.
She does set it on fire technically.
Yeah, right. I mean, she ultimately fails, but at least she tried to do something.
Right. She wasn't distracted by schoolgirls upstairs like the cop was.
right. We saved that for the next one. But ultimately that's essentially what it boils down to is she ultimately fails and then ends up like, you know, she's still alive at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So she explains everything that happened to the police, and at the end of the film we don't really know what happens, but at the beginning of the next one we find out what happened to her.
Yeah, but her boyfriend's there, he's dead, so a lot, I'd say more people died.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
I mean, well, okay, it's more people connected to the original person because right. we're following the same person through the whole film more or less.
Mm-hmm.
So it's of course more people tied to them because those are all the people that are getting like affected,
right?
Ultimately that's what we come down to. It's more of the same. I mean, it's the same basic plot lines, you know, of that, and then we mix it all together. Sarah Michelle Gellar, of course, you know, survives the film because I guess this is the American version and somebody has to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And funny enough, in the second one they do the typical sequel, like old school sequel thing, is where the character comes back from the first one, but doesn't last very long. so that's like an old school throwback, I guess, mm-hmm. to like, you know, the 80s slashers, to where they very rarely ever came back. And when they did, they died very fast.
Yeah. The final girls don't say final for very long, unless you're Ripley or Laurie Strode. That's about it. But yeah, and they said this is just as interesting about this movie is it takes place in Japan, but there's Americans, and we follow the Americans.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that's about it.
I mean, at least they do like show that, you know, there's sometimes they have difficulty speaking to Japanese folks because they don't understand English, or at least they like accepted that and like showed that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of movies don't. That just like everybody just speaks English, and that there's no explanation as to why you're in a foreign country and everybody's speaking English.
Right.
So at least they did that. So yeah, it's like, yeah, her boss dies and the boyfriend dies. Yeah, again, it's a lot of people just connected to her die. And then,
right. You have the American family. That's the mom there. That's Kat Tong. They move into the house. Ozzy Day die. Yoko dies. All that. But a little bit more death.
Yeah.
But yeah, Americanized it, essentially. Correct. Now, was this your first time seeing it?
No. I saw it once before. I honestly don't remember much about it. I mean, I really don't. I remember kind of the layout of the house and the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, that's about it. I didn't even remember that Sarah Michelle Gellar was in it.
Oh.
That was it. It was one of those movies that I watched. It didn't impress me, and I just did not care about any of the sequels or anything like that. Ring was the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everybody told me, oh, you got to watch them. You got to watch them. They're great. And I watched them. I'm like, yeah, I'm not impressed. I don't care about, you know, the originals. I don't care about the sequels. Like, this movie did nothing for me. So if this is the best you have to offer, I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I saw this in theaters. You know, no surprise there. Right. And, you know, of course, you know, the names attached to this movie. So I had to see it also because it's Ghost House Productions, which is Sam Raimi. And it's Ted Raimi being in the movie as well.
Yeah, but he just presents it. He does no part of it.
It's been probably since 2004, since I did a side by side watch of these. And I thought back then, it still holds up true. It's literally just an American remake, but in Tokyo. So
yeah, I mean, there are changes made. Like I said, there is a coherent story that threads the rest of it, as whereas all the Japanese ones didn't have that.
Right.
Except for the very last one had some of that.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to do your highlights first then?
Sure.
All right.
We have better effects finally.
Yeah.
It's much more coherent than the mm-hmm. other ones. The Bill Pullman suicide was like weird because we see him like jump off the balcony and he doesn't come back for like an hour and a half.
Right.
He's like, he just comes back at the very end of the film when we're getting the explanation. It almost feels like a super cut of like the Japanese version, right? Because there's so many shots that they reuse, like the same exact scenes that they just refilmed with different actors and stuff from all of them. It's not just from the first one. It's from like all of them. They just like intercut them in together. It's interesting. Like I said, reused stuff and the super cut, but it's, you know, fun. Cause I just saw the Japanese one. So it was fun for me because I was able to call them all out. We actually got like an in-depth explanation of what the fuck was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the originals, we did not get any kind of explanation as to why the guy was upset and why he murdered his family. We got none of that at all. Was he affected by a curse that was already there? Did he originate it? We don't know. We're never given any of that information because nobody ever looked it up.
And, right. We do eventually get that answer, yes. In this series.
In this?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then right here we do, yeah. And the old one we did not.
Correct.
That original question was never answered.
Yep.
We got more information about, you know, him and you know, like who they are and stuff like that, but we never got the original why he did it in the Japanese. Mm-hmm. So at least we got that. There's kind of an attempt at closure at the end. So there's kind of an ending, not quite. I mean, yeah, at the last minute they turn it on you, but it's kind of sort of typical horror ending. You know, instead of the Japanese ones where they just end, you know, it's just, nope, nobody tries to do anything. It's just,
oh man, what's going to happen? And done.
Right, yeah. So this one, at least they tried. They tried to, like, have some kind of closure. It failed, but at least they tried. That's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was a solid remake, honestly, of the original. You know, like I said, it's more polished and everything like that. You know, the house looks really, really similar. Yeah, other than the outside of the gate, the staircase is about the same. The window's kind of about the same, and it does some of the same beats, so it's great. Like I said, the backstory is pretty much the same. Yeah, and I think it's interesting. They said they brought back the original director and writer, which is cool. So he wrote Run Story and got to film it like three times.
He wrote one story and he's filmed it. This is his fifth time.
Yeah. That's true. As you said, I think that's interesting that they actually burned the house thinking they're going to purify it. You know, obviously, ultimately, it doesn't work, but it stops people from moving into it, at least.
Temporarily.
But I like that. So overall, it's more polished, more refined look for the entire movie. So I appreciate all that. I will end my low points. Obviously, poor Ted Raimi. Poor guy. I'm sad that they never brought Saki into any of these. You know, we had to have that piece of it. So they talk about all the different backstories. Like I said, you learn why, you know, the boy Toshio sounds like a cat because he was killed with the cat at the same time, so imparted it onto him. But there's one thing that the Japanese included in the original Grudge that we never got. We didn't get the aborted baby killing.
Well, that part didn't make any sense anyway.
No, it did not.
It was just like a thing they put in for shock value, but it made no sense why that guy would go kill the teacher's baby, even though the teacher just met that kid in the house that day.
Right. Yeah, because the ultimate changed his fate. He's still dead, but he killed himself. And we get the thumping of Toshio playing with the body against the wall that we get in Grudge 2 in this. And it's not that he was killed by necessarily his dead wife, you know, in the alleyway after killing the baby, right? He killed himself, which was a new piece to it. So I thought that was weird, but I kind of like the idea of his dead wife coming back and getting revenge on him than him just killing himself. So that's why it's in my low points here. That's about all I have. How about you?
Low points again. It was not quite the same house, right? It was like the landing was different. There wasn't like that railing that you could look through. There was the balcony was in a different spot. The gate looked different. It was like it was almost there, but it was like an uncanny valley version of the house.
Yeah.
Again, there was like very loose flashbacks. Like the film is very loose with the time periods and like what's happening when.
Mm-hmm.
It's you have to like watch the scenes for a bit to understand when it's happening sometimes because they're kind of like out of order.
Right.
They don't explain why they're jumping back and forth. All of the films are like that, but it's weirdly jarring in this one. It's worse in this one, I think. No title cards at all. At least right. We got that before to be like, oh, okay, we got a new title card. Now, when is this happening? It was like they did the same weird cut. But they didn't have, you know, the title card to show you that, okay, this is a different viewpoint, different story. We didn't get that. We just got the hard cut. We had to try to figure out for ourselves.
Right, like when we got the sister calling the brother.
Right.
And that we get that ending point in her scene.
Right. And that's, again, like you have to watch the scene that far in to know that, oh, this happened before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's again, it's just it's jarring without it. Like when you get the title card, you realize, OK, we're shifting to their POV. It's right. Their timeline. So like we don't worry about what happened before. It's a different viewpoint. Mm-hmm. We don't get those title cards. So it's just like playing like a standard film from, you know, point A to point B. But it's like a zigzag and we have to figure out when the zigs and zags are happening by ourselves.
That's true,
which is kind of annoying. And again, it's the same stupid throat clicking and meowing. I want to say they use the same freaking sounds.
They did, but way less. I will give them that.
It way might less be less, but it's still annoying. Like, this is the fifth movie I have to listen to the same shit. Like, give me something different.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
All right, what are our olives this week?
Our good old throat clicks, because they're in every fucking one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And they're annoying. I don't like them. But throat clicks.
Yeah. Do you want me to go first?
Hey, go for it.
Alright. I really enjoy this movie. I've seen this maybe a dozen times at this point. It's something to put on. Like I said, I'd rather watch this than the Japanese Grudge. For some reason, I don't know, it's just because I have good memories of it from 21 years ago or what, but it's an enjoyable movie, at least for me. It's not some of the worst stuff that we've watched overall, but I will still give this 7 throw clicks out of 10. How about you?
Yeah, I don't like it nearly that much. again, it's fine, but it's just another example of the kind of schlock they were pumping out in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they take an original good idea and then they just kind of slop their, you know, Hollywood kind of PG-13 stuff on it. And then it's throw a couple of names in the hat, right? Pull them out. And then that's who you cast. And then this is where we get it. Again, it's just, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, people were telling me, you know, I was pretty much done with horror at the time. And people are, oh, you got to come. You really got to watch it. It'll bring you back in. I watch it. And it just pushed me further out.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't anything special. It was the same old shit. And I'm glad I didn't watch the Japanese ones before, because I would have probably hated it. But yeah, to me, it's a 4.
A 4.
4 throw clicks out of 10.
Okay. That's the same one you gave. Oh, you actually, that's higher than the Japanese The Grudge. So
yeah, it's a more coherent. Like, it, like there's actually like a full story being told here.
Mm-hmm. All right, that means I got The Grudge 2 from 2006. I'll preface this: it's not about an actress. it's essentially more of the same. Essentially, we find out that Sarah Michelle Gellar has a sister who's in America, and you know, she calls because there's an accident, she has to go there, her mom can't go, and so the sister comes and starts investigating this. This is how we get the opening scene, essentially, of Sarah Michelle Gellar in the hospital trying to figure out what's going on there, and she kills herself. Well, Yokio, or the you know, the ghost pushes her off, essentially, but clings to her, and she's dead. She gets the returning final girl treatment, as you stated. So now it's just kind of the sister trying to figure out what's going on here. She kind of talks, you know, we have an interview with the cop from the first one as he's investigated. You know, there's a journalist who's trying to figure out everything that's going on there and investigating this, and kind of going through it and like, oh, I'm writing this piece. We have to figure out what's going on there. Oh, look, here's some more flashbacks to everything. So I'll kind of wrap up their story because it's kind of spread throughout the movie as well. You know, he's developing pictures, you know, the ghost lady comes out of the photographs and essentially kills him and scares him to death. The sister also gets, like, you know, brutally murdered next act by essentially the ghost father. she dead. All that stuff. Then we have, finally, the schoolgirls from the first Japanese Grudge. We get their story of them going into the, you know, the international high school, going there, like, oh, you have to close the door and count, you know, close your eyes, count to 5, and then she'll appear, and they're kind of just going through their shit, right? And they kind of just, you know, one of them goes to the hotel room and just disappears into the mirror as the ghost takes her there. We still have,
you know, there's a lot of disappearing in this one.
Yes, you know, with the first, in the Japanese one, we had the person disappear into the bed they never saw, which is, these buyers are disappearing. They're not brutally finding them. They're like, oh, they've been murdered. Like, no, they're just gone. No, like, no one knows what the hell happened to them. You know, so, you know, the schoolgirls are kind of just realizing that they're going through this. They get kind of killed. The teacher goes, or the counselor goes into the house, see what's going on there. She starts seeing the dead girls everywhere. They're all dead. And then the spoiler thing is that the girl that survives the closet goes back to the United States, to Chicago, and essentially brings the curse there, to the point where we have the guy bitching about his breakfast and the wife kills him. And we get that, but in Chicago. You know, and we get that kind of side story of the curse being brought there and how it's affecting their family. You know, that we have Flashdance herself, Jennifer Beals goes there, and you know, there are little backstories of what happened and the family that is just a little bit crazy. And we find out, we'll spoil it, that the rest of the family dies in this Chicago apartment, but the son, you know, lives. But you know, he's figuring out all that stuff is going on.
Well, he gets the Sarah Michelle Gellar treatment.
He does. He definitely does. Except he gets straight to DVD.
Oh, was the third one straight to DVD? I should have guessed.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely was. So I'm trying to think. Oh, and we do get a little bit more backstory about Kayako and why the husband is evil, because her mother performed exorcisms and then fed the exorcised essence, the evil essence, into her daughter. Therefore, her daughter, having an infatuation with Bill Pullman, created an intense rage in her husband to create the garage, essentially.
Right. It's a loose interpretation of what that means. Like, they say, oh, yeah, she got demon blood in her. Okay. So how does that translate to her getting murdered by her husband? They don't explain that part, but they just explain, like, this is where bad juju comes from.
Correct. But, yeah. But so, yeah. Instead of it just being a jealous husband that has a fit of rage, he's also now a victim, which is an interesting take on it.
Yeah, which, he probably was violent, jealous to begin with, and that just pushed him over.
Right. Don't get me wrong. She was obsessive with Bill Pullman's character, like, unhealthily obsessive.
Correct.
And he was angry about it. Now, do I think it needed to get changed because she had demon blood, therefore causing him to get angrier? No, because I think he still was going to be angry regardless with whether demon blood was there or not.
Right.
You know? Because he's kind of angry to kill his wife. Like, you know, that's one thing. And then his son sees it, so he's like, okay, I'm going to drown you and kill the cat at the same time. So.
Like I said, that part is never explained.
No.
It's like, you have to put that together yourself. Like, why the fuck is the kid meowing?
Mm-hmm.
Why is there sometimes a cat? Like, you have to, like, put that together. Like, oh, the kid and the cat were both killed at the same time or in the same tub, so now they, like, share a body or whatever.
Yep. But yeah, like I said, so, you know, they travel to a remote village to learn that backstory of the mother. And, you know, they essentially brought the curse or the grudge to the mother, who then gets killed by her daughter. And that's about it, I believe, of the stories. I think that's
Yeah, the schoolgirls and then Michelle Geller family connection that fizzles out fairly quickly.
Right. So, you know, still Japanese language in there because it's still taking place in Japan, except for the Chicago apartment. But like I said, we'll get into the questions this movie raises about the lore. Like I said, it's just more people associated with the house. Like I said, it's burnt down. They go visit, it's burnt down. So, not burnt down, but charred inside. But yeah, that's about it. I saw this when this came out. I don't think I saw it in theaters. I could be mistaken, but I know I did not watch The Grudge, Japanese Grudge 2, with this one like I did the first one. But I saw this and I go, this is a step down. That was my initial thought of this. Like, okay, this is not good. I believe this was your first time seeing it, correct?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what was kind of your first thought? Like, would you have high hopes that it was going to be similar to the actress one that we got in The Grudge 2, the Japanese one?
I mean, I was curious to see if that would be the direction they went in.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, they did not. Honestly, the thing that was bothering me through this whole film was the daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
The blonde daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, where do I know her from? Like, I've seen her in something recently and I don't remember what it was. It was Disturbia. She was the girl next door.
Oh.
That's what it was bothering me. Like, I was sitting there like, I know you from somewhere and it's pretty recently and I have no idea what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it was around the same time. And yeah, this was the first film she ever did. The second film she ever did was Disturbia, which was right after this.
Yeah. Huh.
So yeah, that's where I know her from. And so that was interesting. That was the only interesting point I think I found in this movie. Otherwise, it was pretty standard.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll do my highlights first. Like I said, they finally brought the schoolgirls in. That's nice. As you know, you're like, oh, well, there's a whole story missing from the first one. No, we finally have it. you know, I don't. I kind of liked it. It isn't just a remake of the Japanese Grinch 2. I needed to see another remake. It's interesting that it took it into a different story. Now, it was written by, you know, someone else as well, but it's still the original director. So this is a new story for him to film, so he didn't have to get to reuse all his same shit.
He reused a lot of the gags, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And once again, you talk about the burning of the house, but at least this time, like, they are trying to investigate how to stop Kyoko's ghost and see all the stuff. So they try to formulate a good plan as well that we expected to see, like what we saw in The Ring. Ultimately fails, obviously, but once again, we have these American remakes have, like, plans of how to stop the evil instead of just a story that has no ending. So I appreciate that. That's all I have for the highlights. How about you?
The return of the pan.
Yeah.
I love that pan shot in the first one, and it came back. It was like the same scene.
Except she poured bacon grease on.
Yeah, she poured the grease on his head first, which is insult to injury. But, but yeah, otherwise, like, the him, like, wiggling around on the floor and shit was the same. And it was good. It was a good scene. I like that scene. Again, it's another supercut, right? It's another same of the reused gags, you know, like the one from the very first curse where the girl was, like, reaching up for her phone on top of the desk and the kid's foot was there, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that same scene was in this. Like, again, as you could tell, it's the same director because I guess he has limited ideas for, like, gags and, like, you know, jump scares in films because they're, like, the same.
Right.
But, I mean, they're okay. Again, it was fun because we just saw the other ones, so that was good. This is really the first person in, like, this whole franchise where we get exposition guy, right? Mm-hmm. We get the guy who tells you the whole story of everything and then just kind of leaves the story after that, you know, but that's the first in this whole franchise. So 6 films in, we finally get a guy that tells you what the fuck is going on and how you can finally try to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we get more backstory. And ultimately, it's like, yeah, we get more backstory, but it's kind of pointless. Like, it doesn't give us any information about what to do about it.
It just gives us the why.
Right. Yeah, it's just like, okay. Like, yeah, she was fucked up. She wasn't just a victim. Okay, got it. That's it. That's all we get. Okay. Yep. Thank you, I guess.
Yep.
But yeah, that's pretty much all I got for high points. Low points, don't bring that shit to Chicago, man. That shit in Japan. What are you thinking?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Sarah Michelle Gellar that came back for, like, what is amounted to essentially a cameo, right?
Oh, yeah.
She was, like, only in it for, like, 2 minutes.
I think she was in this movie less than Bill Pullman was in the first one.
Right. Well, yeah, Bill Pullman at least had, like, his own little, like, scene kind of thing. But, yeah, she was just, like, in the hospital and then jumping off the roof and that's it. There was a scene where the blonde daughter went to go show off her cheerleading outfit for some bizarre reason. I think the guy just wanted to see a blonde girl in a cheerleading outfit. I'm pretty sure. There's no other reason for the scene. But she goes to her friend's door, and her friend is, like, chugging a half gallon of milk.
Uh-huh.
And then she proceeds to throw the puke up back into the jug.
Mm-hmm.
And then drink it again.
Mm-hmm.
It is fucking disgusting. I was like, what the fuck were you thinking? Like, I get you're trying to say that this is a bad, like, bad things are happening here, but, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And then that chick never came back.
Nope.
So, like, what the fuck was that all about? Like, we get this disgusting scene and it's never even hinted at again. It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
And in this one, there was a lot of people that just, like, poof, disappeared. Like, the ghost gets you, you're gone.
Yep.
Like, before, it always left, like, bodies.
Yeah. But, hidden bodies, but bodies.
Right, yeah, there was always a body. Like, this one, it's like, people's body just go poof, gone. Like, never to be found again.
Into the mirror.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. I don't know why they started doing that, but they kind of do it from here on out. But,
yeah.
But that's all I got.
Oh, yeah, number one for me is milk vomit. Literal milk vomit scene.
It was
so
gross.
Yeah, I said I don't do vomit well in anything in the movie. Like, you can watch someone get decapitated, blah blah. It doesn't bother me, but vomit and then that part of it is disgusting. I know it bothered me back then too. Yeah, as you said, ghosts in Chicago. No, no, we don't need ghosts. We have Candyman and we have Chucky in Chicago, right?
Yeah, again, I was like saying, like, don't bring Japanese ghosts to Chicago. We got enough problems.
Well, okay, so that really raises a question to the lore, because can they only appear at one place at a time? Is Toshio in Chicago and Tokyo at the same time? I don't know. It begs the question, like, how far is their reach really? Is there in fact multiples of
these ghosts? Yeah, I mean, we're breaking the protocol after this film here, but yeah, the original is like, yeah, if you go to the house and the curse attaches to you, it can follow you wherever you go.
Right.
But it doesn't then restart a curse from that location. It's still centered at the house. You still have to go in the house to get it. Yeah, it can find you and kill you anywhere, but you have to have been in the house.
Yeah.
And then this film still sticks to that. Kind of.
It destroys it in the next one.
Right. Because I don't know how you can really say, like, because it affected people in the Chicago apartment, right? It affected more than one person
that didn't step into their apartment, right? Which we'll get into the next one.
Correct. Yeah, so it's like we're getting very loose with it, but at least one person there stepped foot in the original house.
Right.
We got that much. Yeah, it gets and loose with the rest of them. But again, we in the original Japanese ones, we had the fucking ghost kid in the car for no reason whatsoever.
She even knew she's going to the house.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, again, we're fast and loose with this stuff as it is. So this one gets kind of a pass because the Japanese ones did the same kind of shit. The next one does not, in my opinion. But this one, at least, they made a couple of, you know, minor lore mistakes, but nothing that the Japanese ones didn't already do themselves.
Right, but I said this is the start of the cracking of the lore, established lore.
Right.
For sure. You know, and I don't know how much $3,900 yen is, but I know, I'm sure some people think a window to the shower is sexy. I wouldn't want a window to the shower, regardless what room I was in.
I mean, if you go into a sex hotel, that's the kind of shower you're going to get.
Sure. I guess. So, yeah. And still, like I said, I was hoping to get rid of subtitles with this. I forgot how many subtitles were. So, that's all I got. So, Salem, why don't you go first? For how many throat clicks out of 10 do you have The Grudge 2 from 2006?
Again, I think we're going down in quality here. So I'll go with 3.
Yeah, this goes down to a 5 throat clicks out of 10 because I go, okay, clearly they can't continue the trend here, but it's okay. It still was in theaters, but you can see, like I said, it's breaking. The cracks of the franchise are cracking here,
right,
in American, but why don't you bring us straight to DVD with The Grudge 3 from 2009?
So we get The Grudge 3 now. Now, we are solely focused on Chicago. So, essentially, the curse has officially and totally moved to Chicago. It doesn't really it sort of does. But, like, you know, in the original one, it was like we had the kid, that was the only survivor from the family, right? So he gets the Sarah Michelle Gellar treatment and ends up in the mental hospital. So we see him in the mental hospital, you know, obviously afraid to be alone because she's going to show up. We get Shawnee Smith as her doctor.
Unconvincingly doctor.
Yes, very much so. He gets killed pretty much right away. And then she ends up going to the apartment to check on him, and then she just dies. It's very stupid. But so the rest of it centers around another family that lives in the same place. You know, the brother, it's a brother and two sisters. One, you know, older-ish sister, one very young sister. So it's the brother is like the super of the apartment building that's kind of sort of falling apart and looks like shit. And he's trying to do his best to like get tenants in and get it like repaired and everything to keep it like tip top. But well, he's not doing a great job and people are leaving.
Well, in fairness, people keep dying in that apartment complex.
Right. So. And the sister is helping by taking the keys for all the empty apartments and boning her boyfriend in all of the rooms for some bizarre reason, even though there's no furniture. So they end up going into the cursed apartment to bone, and then that's how the curse kind of gets out. The younger sister is like sick. They never really say what's wrong with her, other than she maybe like some kind of asthma because she needs oxygen as an emergency.
She's got the disease.
They don't even say what it is, but she gets a weird connection of apparently Toshio is living in the apartment down the hall. And they, like, I don't know, pass toys back and forth or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. They don't really explain what that part was about. But so that's everybody that's pretty much involved here, right, for a little while. The brother gets, like, kind of corrupted into being the evil, you know, violent dad of the relationship. The girl is, like, trying to – the older sister is trying to, like, get them out because she knows something is wrong. Because she's like, you know, seeing the ghosts and blah, blah, blah. And the doctor came and explained about the kid dying and stuff before she died. And people are dying in the house, like counselor Deanna Troy gets murdered. She's like a painter that sometimes watches the little girl and she gets murdered in the house. And again, people are dying in the house again. So they're like, she's trying to get everybody out. She seems to be relatively unaffected. And the girl is just kind of, the younger girl is just like, kind of sort of friends with Toshio, but he, like, you know, of course turns on her, is trying to get her too. So that's where the family is at. And then there's another character that's introduced into, I guess, the lore is Kayako's sister. So Kayako was the one that got the evil demon blood put in her, but there was also another sister that watched this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't get any demon blood. But now she feels like she's kind of sort of responsible, and that she somehow found out that it moved to Chicago. So she has to move from Tokyo to Chicago to try and stop. And again, she gets introduced as like, oh yeah, I'm going to buy an apartment in this building and I'm going to try to figure out what's going on. And then she essentially leaves the film for like 45 minutes before she finally comes back when we need exposition dump, right? So she explains like, oh yeah, like, yeah, I was the sister and, you know, this is, we've now confirmed that this is all going on. We have to do an exorcism. And she apparently knows all the exorcism stuff. So they, of course, try to do the exorcism without explaining what's going on or what they're going to do.
Here, so she drink does, this blood. Yeah.
Yeah. She does the exorcism and she's like, okay, a little girl has to drink the blood now. And they're like, no, thanks.
Yep.
And they leave, which I completely understand that. So, yeah, crazy brother, like, kills her by stabbing her in the neck with a drywall saw that he has a holster for some reason. Anyway, yeah. So he kills her. And then the little girl, you know, as the older sister is being chased around by Kayako, she decides that she's going to have to save her by drinking the blood. So she drinks the blood, and then the ghosts all go away. And the brother kind of, like, falls apart. The older sister is like, oh, thank you, we're all saved, and she like hugs the girl, and then we see that the girl has now become Kayako.
Yes, not reincarnated through birth, you know.
No, but it's the same end result is that she is like,
correct,
apparently now Kayako. I don't think there was anything else that I missed there. I mean, there was the whole like weird subplot of like the guy who owned the building was going to hire a management company. And the brother got really mad and like attacked him. And then he got killed in the car by the ghosts. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they just needed to up the body count, I guess. But that's never mentioned or anything. Like, I would think that, you know, the police would notice a dead body in a car sitting right on the street.
Maybe. But essentially, Max gets like his jugular bitten.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. He gets killed by. Apparently the new curse is the lady that got stabbed in the neck with the drywall saw. She is now the ghost of that apartment building and she kills the guy.
And yeah, and then the daughter, or the little sister, is almost Toshio somehow, right, in a way.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't, again, the ending is very open.
Correct.
But that's where we're at. I don't think I missed anything.
No. So I was watching this, and the wife walks in. She goes, "What is this?" I goes, "Grudge 3." There's a Grudge 3?
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, why?
She's like, "Did we see this?" I go, "I'm watching this." I go, "I don't recall any of this in the slightest." So I'm pretty sure this is my first time watching it. Because I think Grudge 2 turned me off. And then I go straight to DVD. Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, Grudge 1 turned me off.
Yeah. But, yeah, what was your first thoughts of it? It's actually being all Chicago, essentially.
Yeah, I was like, hey, great, we're in Chicago. But, like, it's, I don't know. It was just very badly made. It looks like a almost made for TV film. If there wasn't as much blood as there was, you would assume it was made for TV.
Well, and the original creator didn't come back for this.
No, he did not. It's some other random person. I was like, oh, I'm sure it's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to do your highlights first then?
Sure. Okay. We're picking scraps here. So I'm going to say Shawnee Smith and Counselor Deanna Troi were fun to see, right? Mm-hmm. You rarely see them in anything else.
Yep.
Again, at least there was a focus on a single story, right? We didn't really get all the goofy different viewpoints and shit. It was all centered in the apartment building and
completely all changing the format.
Right. But at least it was like one focused story. We didn't have to worry about time jumps and flashbacks and shit. It was just one story moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
The whole exorcism thing, like, it's a good idea. I'm just, again, I'm sitting here like, why was this never thought of before?
Like, correct.
If you have ways of doing exorcisms, how come no one ever tried this?
How many people have died before she decided, hey, maybe we should do something about it?
Right. They're like, this, we're 7 films in. How many people have fucking died? And people have known that this house is haunted.
Yep.
And no one has been like, hey, we got exorcist people. Why don't we call them? No one did. As close as we got is like, hey, let's try to solve it with some gas. That's about as far as we got. No one else tried anything else.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
Yeah, it's, you know, it is, you know, honestly, the most bloody one.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they're not just getting disappeared or scared to death. Like, they are getting, like, really, like, bones snapped everywhere.
Right.
Which is interesting. And I also find it really interesting, you know, once again, they carried on the tradition of it being essentially the next day or next week, whatever. So little time has passed between Grudge 2 and 3, like between Grudge 1 and 2. So it's interesting to see it continue that way, because usually when straight to DVD, yeah, it's whole new actors and all that stuff, different location, they just continue. But yeah, no, they continue the story, which is kudos to them, because like I said, straight to the DVD generally doesn't do that. Especially in horror franchises. As you said, Shawnee Smith, yeah. But that's about it. And speaking, I'll go to my low point. Speaking of Shawnee Smith, horrible portrayal of a doctor.
Well, again, I don't think Shawnee Smith is a particularly good actress.
No.
and I mean, I know that she's been in some horror franchises and is pretty well known, but I don't think she's ever done a good job acting.
No, I think most people agree her best work was The Blob from 1988. like I said, straight to DVD. They changed. For the first time, they use a different photograph.
Oh man!
Unnecessarily, like why would you change it after all this time?
They probably couldn't get him to give it to him.
Right. Okay. We have to talk about the rules that are just inherently destroyed in this movie. You can just make a new grudge. You can the father, the husband, now is able to pass on with this curse as well and create new versions of him, which is bizarre.
Well, I think the main thing that we're breaking here is that it's not a different ghost. It's the same Japanese ghost, but they moved.
Yeah.
This is seven films in. They've never left the original house.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden they can move.
Yeah.
The no explanation given. They just did.
What's even more interesting, right, is what are the rules in an apartment building, right? Because seemingly you would say, oh, just like the house, you have to go inside the house. So in this, you have to go inside the apartment. There's people that didn't go inside the apartment and were affected by it.
Right. No, yeah, that's happened a lot. I mean, again, like the owner guy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he never even went into an apartment. He was always in the hallway.
Right. So what are we saying now? Like, is it a different rule apartment that you just within the apartment complex? If so, it's not consistent with that. Like,
well, again, I don't think the people understood the rules of how it worked.
No.
They heard haunted house and they just ran with it.
Yeah. So like the destroys the premise of how the curse passes on. That's a huge blatant disregard.
Right. Which is funny because in the next one they do follow it pretty close.
Correct.
So it's very odd.
Yeah. I honestly, usually in these movies, when they're not, you know, there's vignettes, right? These ghosts take forever to kill in this one. Like the entire movie. It's not within like a couple hours or, you know, minutes of it happening. They take a very long time. You know, I wrote bitten to death. Like, I don't recall a ghost ever biting someone to death in this movie. So that's an interesting take for being scared to death.
Oh yeah. It was either they were scared to death, they just disappeared, or they were like every bone in their body was broken. those are the three options that we get.
Yeah. But yeah, so this was just, like I said, I feel like a fully disregard for the franchise as a whole. Yeah. You know, we'll take this ghost, but the ghost effects way worse. Everything about this is way worse. The acting's way worse. The VFX way worse. So overall, yeah, I can see why this went straight to DVD. You could almost argue it was a, you know, Hellraiser syndrome, but clearly it's not. They just go, there's that ghost. We were in Chicago last, so therefore done. Next. That's all I have. How about you?
The acting was horrible. I would say especially the fucking kids. They were horrible. And then when the guy was supposed to be like evil, the brother was supposed to be evil, he was horribly bad.
Hey, sometimes evil people crack their necks a lot.
Yeah, I was like, okay. I was like, that first I'm like, did he just kill himself? Because it like did a weird cut after he did it. I'm like, did he just die? But no. I mean, the lady and the boy, it's different people and they have like totally different makeup. And I don't know if they were like, hey, we got people to like flop around like fishes this time, so we need to like accentuate that and have them in scenes for longer. And it ends up just coming off very lame.
That's comical.
Yeah. It was not good. Like introducing another character in the sister, like, they very clearly showed scenes of the mom and the daughter and that you were not there.
No.
Like, why would the mom ever waste all the demon blood on one kid and not the other one? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Oddly enough, she was probably the best character in the film though.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's again, like, here we go. So the curse was brought by the schoolgirl back, right? So if we're following the original curse, so they could have killed her in her place by following her there. But that's where it should have ended.
Correct. It should not have spread to anyone else.
Right. And just because other people witnessed it doesn't mean that it comes back. Because if it was like her acting as the ghost, like, okay, then maybe it like restarted a new curse there. But no, it was the original. Kayako and Toshio came to Chicago. So like they moved.
Mm-hmm.
It's just where, yeah, like, as we already talked about it, like killing people who never went in the apartment or went any, or did anything near it, and it's somehow affected by it. It's, yeah, just very lore breaking. Seven films in, like, you got seven films of rules, just follow them.
Yep,
that's all I got.
All right. I'll go first for throat clicks out of 10. Like I said, this is a hard nosedive down. I'm looking at my scores from the other stuff. I'm trying to think, like, is this the worst one? I think so. my lowest there was a 3. I'm going down to a 2 throw clicks out of 10 for this one. It just destroys everything. And, you know, obviously destroyed the franchise for 10 years in America. So, yeah. How about you?
It's just, yeah, it's not good. I'll do 1.8.
1.8. That's fair. That's fair.
I like it a tiny bit better than the original Jew on the Curse, because at least it has a story.
Yeah, that's true. Like I said, it also strides away from the vignettes completely. So right. I don't think it helped it. All right, that leaves me with The Grudge from, was it 2019 or 2020?
It was released in Indonesia in 2019. It was released in the U.S. in 2020.
Okay. Yeah, because I think this came out, was it during the pandemic?
No, it was January of 2020.
Okay. I may have watched it.
Yeah, you probably watched it during the pandemic. But no, it was the release date was like January 3rd, 2020.
Yeah.
And it was like December something, 2019 in Indonesia. Okay. Or
yeah. So, So we'll call it, as you said, this is a side story to the original Grudge. I'm just going to do the different timelines that exist in here, because that's the different vignettes. They go back to that vignette essentially. But yeah, so the house caregiver in the original Ju-on the Grudge, or the, you know, the Sarah Michelle Gellar one, right? Before Yoko is there, right? This is the caregiver before that person, Yoko. She's like, I can't do this. I have to leave. So she leaves and comes back home. And that's as much time as we spend in Tokyo, in Japan.
Yeah, it's literally like one half scene.
Yeah, she's at the house. And so she leaving is set up to Yoko to go there, and then Sarah Michelle Gellar, all that stuff. So essentially, she goes back home to, I don't remember where, what state it was, like North Carolina or something.
I don't know. Did they even say where
they
it was?
They showed the license plate. And I'm trying to remember where that was.
I didn't pay that much attention.
Yeah. But essentially she goes home and then, well, kills her husband and child. Essentially establishing the lore that we got from Grudge 3, creating a new curse in America.
Well, yeah, but yeah, that's the thing though, is in the third one, they just like kept the same ghosts.
Yeah. This one
moved them. This one started a new curse. So at least, yeah, they did move it, but at least it followed the lore as to what was happening.
Right. Right. So that happens. So, she kills them all. And then she kills herself too. So yeah, so that continues on there. So now we have her and her daughter are the new, you know, Yakio and Toshio. And so we get introduced to another person, you know, that we have the shady, I won't say shady, but the real estate guy who doesn't have sake to show that people should buy this house. He enters the house and then essentially then brings it back home. And then he, you know, we kind of get through that as well. So we have some back and forth with John Cho and Betty Gilpin, right? Betsy or Betty?
I just call her Liberty Bell.
Yeah, that's very fair.
that name makes more sense in my head. So yeah, it was Harold and Liberty Bell.
Yes, that's very much true. Yeah, they find out that their kid has issues. They don't want to go through this stuff. But essentially, they carry the first people to go there, and he ends up killing his wife and the unborn child, and then himself. So, you know, continue that trend. Then a year after that, because they were giving us kind of like years here.
Yeah, it's 2002, which is supposed to line up with The Grudge 1. Yeah. 2004, which is supposed to line up with The Grudge 2.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And then the modern day timeline of 2020 or whatever.
I thought it was just 2006.
Well, yeah, that could be. Yeah, I think they did mention it was only a couple years, but whatever.
Yeah. So, anyways, the next people that move in there are horror icons Lynn Shay and her husband. And she kind of has a mental illness, and so she's not doing that. And they're going to kind of hire a Dr. Kevorkian.
an assisted suicide lady.
Which we will get to her in a little bit here, but you know they're moving in there, and we have the peekaboo stuff with the ghost, and now she's playing peekaboo with, once again, playing peekaboo with clearly 8-year-old is not fun for the 8-year-old, regardless of what movie this is. You know, it doesn't make sense for that. Essentially, that you know we get introduced to William Sadler as the cop that kind of investigated this, and he kind of went into the house and was kind of, you know, during the events of the first one, and was obviously hindered by it, and he's kind of just watching them, and the assisted suicide lady, she goes, oh shit, that's not cool. But essentially what happens is, you know, all this is going on there, and the detective that we're following, the main through line of the story, goes in there and sees the husband dead, is killed, and then Shay essentially dead as well. So they're kind of all dead. The assisted suicide,
she was eating her own fingers.
Yes.
Because she couldn't find any food because her husband used to feed her, because she's like essentially suffering from like late stage dementia.
Yeah.
There's a scene later on where they bring her to the hospital because we see in a flashback that she killed the husband, but they don't know that.
Right.
So they bring her to the hospital, and we see her like after she's been bandaged up. For some reason, they let her wander the hospital. She goes up to the top of the stairs and then jumps off and kills herself.
Yep, which is common in this franchise.
Yeah, she pulled the Sarah Michelle
Gellar. The assisted suicide lady, they find like dead on the side of like a service road, essentially, at like the present time. They're like, oh, she's been like missing a year, essentially, right? And so that kind of led back to the new detective we're following to go back into the house and kind of learn the lore of everything that's going on there and realize this curse is going on there. She meets up with William Sadler, who we saw in the past when he was driving with this other detective, essentially tries to kill himself with his gun, but fails, but he is like stitched up and like in the mental asylum. And, you know, essentially he's like starts ripping his own eyes out and realizing that just he's trying to figure out this curse. He realizes it, but he just doesn't know how to stop it. And all that's going on there, you know, so essentially the new detective we're following brings the curse back to her house. And, you know, the son kind of plays with it and, you know, with the girl and all that stuff. But she tries to go burn down, you know, she goes and burn down the house thinking that it's going to stop it. And, you know, seemingly she thinks it does. You know, she's like, okay, cool. We're all taken care of. We're all good. And she kind of goes to hug her son before he goes to school. And lo and behold, guess what? It's the little girl. She's dead. The son goes off to school, seemingly bringing the curse to wherever. That's about it. There's a lot of, you know, personal growth and character development, but doesn't really amount to a whole lot. It's just a new grudge location for the American ghost to make sense.
Right.
Right?
Correct.
That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciated that they at least were back to following the lore again.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, they made a point of saying, like, the one cop never went in the house, and he never got affected. Even though he was investigating the case, since he refused to go in the house, he never got it.
Yeah.
So, they followed it pretty close.
Yeah, yeah, I said, this actually felt like a remake. Like an American style remake.
Yeah, I mean, but again, it's like, it's kind of like how J.J. Abrams did Star Trek.
Right.
Right, where it's like, yeah, they used the same world and everything, but they made their own kind of side world that doesn't really affect the other world.
Right. Right, so, you know, in theory then that, you know, Kayoko and Toshio still exist in Japan.
Correct.
And never moved to Chicago.
Well, in this, yes.
Yeah. They kind of ignored that whole plot line. in the series.
Well, they ignored the plot lines of the originals too. I mean, other than that they happened.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it's a prequel, and it's, you know, a 30-second prequel and then a side story. Now, I watched this when it came, when I came to streaming, and I go, okay, this, my first thoughts was, you know, this makes sense. This is better than what The Grudges had been. So it, I felt like it's a good return to form and making it their own thing, but still adhering to the lore. I believe this is your first time seeing this, right?
Yeah, I didn't even know it existed until we did this.
Okay, so what was your first thoughts?
Yeah, no, I was, again, after watching everything else, I was just surprised that after three, they actually kept with the lore and stuff. So, it was good. I mean, it was, yeah, it's, I don't know, better than a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want me to go first then?
Sure.
All right. Like I said, it's interesting that's concurrent to the original Grudge by America. I thought that was great. You know, you talk about picking names from the hat. You can recognize most people. They're like, oh, I recognize that person. Maybe you don't know their names, but you recognize them, right? Because, you know, do people necessarily know who William Sadler is other than Death from Bill and Ted? Maybe not.
But, well, he's been in a lot of stuff.
But Lynn Shea, huge horror icon, and she had a good role in it.
I don't know
she
about was an icon.
She's known. How about, sure. She's known for ghostly PG-13 horror movies. How about that?
Okay. Well, that might be why I don't see her as an icon, because I don't watch her. The main detective lady was the assassin in Repossessor.
Mm-hmm. And I believe the other detective was the priest from The Nun.
Right. I think so.
Yeah. So, like I said, you know, Lynn Shea's husband, I know I've seen him and stuff. I couldn't recall what his name is, but he's definitely in stuff. So, like I said, it was an interesting way to bring it back to America. And it felt like a good, solid re-entry into this, which, you know, 2020 seems to be good entries into the horror franchises that we've had dwindling shit with. It adheres to the bad ending. She thought she defeated it, but no, she's still dead, and the curse is going to continue potentially forever. So I do appreciate that. And like I said, the acting, the effects were way better than they have been for the past 7 movies.
Yeah.
And actually had money thrown behind it, so I appreciate it for that. But that's all I have. How about you?
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I already complained about it, but where they made a sidequel with the same name without any kind of underline, it's just weird to me. Mm-hmm. I did appreciate the police investigation line. I mean, they did have police investigation in some of these other films, but they never really did any follow-up or anything. It was just kind of like an excuse to have another character die that was a cop.
Right.
But yeah, the obsession and like the weird following and everything, it was interesting. You know, it mm-hmm. showed that there was like a little bit more supernatural element to it, which I thought was fun. I think the story is better told in this one than I think, I want to say, than all the rest of them.
Oh, yeah.
Because it stays true to the original of like kind of like separate character vignettes, like approaching it from different angles, because obviously these are different timelines, so they don't even really cross.
Right.
But they're like, it still follows that, but still has like a end-to-end story, which I thought was good. Mm-hmm. There was an ending, like a traditional ending. I mean, yeah, it had the sequel stinger and the end of it. But other than that, it was a pretty solid ending, right? Like, you try to end the curse by like burning the house. We don't know if that'll work because it hasn't really happened.
Right.
So hopefully it'll work. I mean, it didn't because it followed her, apparently. But
yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't think they're going to have a sequel. I think they would have already announced something.
Well, I said that they're still trying to do the Rings versus Grudge after this one, so I don't know.
Lame.
I don't disagree.
All right, that's it for highs, lows. Again, there's I think there's one too many stories.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'll call out the realtor story. I mean, I get that you want the shock value of like him like killing his pregnant wife, but yeah, like there's way too much to that story for it just to end like that.
well, like, do we need to know that his kid may have ALD? Is that right. Pertinent to the story? No. Right.
There's like so much stuff of like them talking about it and like what they're going to do. Like, are they just going to have the kid, or are they going to do, you know, are they going to, you know, err on the side of caution? You know, like, again, there's so many scenes of like them, and they're great acted scenes. Like, mm-hmm. They're fantastically acted. It's just like, why are they here? It's like that their timeline was not connected to anyone. No one was even researching them.
No.
Other than like her going, oh, look, another murder here happened in the house. Like, that was it. That was really the only tie to it. And then we get this whole story that is just really felt like it was just frivolous. But again, it was very well acted. Again, it doesn't, like, by itself, it is a good little story. It just, to fitting with the rest of these, I just didn't understand where it came from. The child actor was atrocious.
Oh, yes.
I mean, thankfully they limited his lines, but the very few that he did, I was like, holy shit, where did they find this kid?
Oh my God, Ma.
Yeah, it's like, Mama, I'm dead. Like, oh, come on, dude. Why was that old lady allowed to wander the hospital? And how did everybody know her name? She was there for like a day. It was so bizarre. I'm like, why? Like, she's on late stage dementia. Like, why is she like wandering the hospital?
Dementia wards for that reason.
Right. Like, I'm like, there's no way they'd let her wander around the whole thing and go upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is like, okay, it's, even though it is 2006, police can't have revolvers in 2006. There's like rules that you have to be able to shoot and reload a certain amount of times, and revolvers don't allow you to do that. They don't allow you to have revolvers. The only cops who had revolvers in 2006 are like old timers.
Right.
Like they don't issue you. Yeah. They don't issue you revolvers. And like every cop in the movie had a revolver, and it was a shitty revolver. It was like little Saturday Night Special snub-nose 38s. I'm like, the police don't carry these guns. I don't know if that was the only guns they could get or something, but there's like no automatics in the whole film. Every cop has a shitty little snub-nose revolver.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't care what kind of backwater town you live in. They have at least a semi-auto. Like, there's no way you don't. It's like basic line cop rule.
Right.
So that was like, but it was like just so weird that they had, I'm like, why do they have all these shitty guns? That's all I got.
Yeah, I definitely wrote the kid acting for sure. It was just atrocious. That meat market scene where she's at the butcher shop.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a bizarre scene.
Like, I don't understand that scene other than for gross factor. But like, the butcher was staring at her like she's crazy, like he's something wrong with him too. But no,
because she was like going like, because like the ghost like grabbed her hand, like that's why he's looking at her like, what the fuck is wrong with this lady? He's trying not to meet her eyes because he's like, you think she's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think butchers have whole hog heads in their display case.
Especially
at that white hen pantry.
Yeah, well, I mean, not normally, but I mean, I used to work at a meat counter and we did not definitely not have pig heads in there.
Yeah, or I mean, and it looked like just like a bunch of livers as well. Like, those are things you have to ask for specifically, generally.
It was like all those like intestines and stuff that were just sitting there, and then like steaks that were like old as shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was gross.
Yeah, I just, but that's about it. Like I said, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie, but why don't you go first? How many throat clicks out of 10 do you have The Grudge from 2020?
I actually like this movie. This is probably the only one of all of these that I might ever watch again. So I'll give it a 6.5.
Yeah, I mean, this is, like I said, this was a return to form, I felt like, with the franchise, and did it well. Yeah, I've watched this a handful of times now. This is probably the third time. So I'm giving this 7.5 throat clicks out of 10. It's my favorite of these eight easily.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, again, it was a coherent story that was done well, but still keeping with the spirit of the original. So yeah.
All right, that's all I got. Why don't you bring us home?
All right, so we're finally done with subtitles, and we're finally done with Japanese films. So yeah, we might go back for more Japanese stuff later, but we need a break for a while. So we're gonna take it down a notch. We're gonna go lighter. So next week we're gonna do some zombie comedy. We're gonna do Dead Alive, Cemetery Man, and Shaun of the Dead. I'm assuming you've seen these before. Yes.
I have not watched Cemetery Man probably since the late 90s.
It was one of the movies that we'd have on in the background at parties. It was like Evil Dead 2 was one of them. Cemetery mm-hmm. Man was one of them. So I owned a copy of Cemetery Man a long time ago.
Okay.
But I do have another. I do have it on Laserdisc. So.
You do? I have the other ones on Laserdisc. No, I can't Shaun the Dead on Laserdisc because it doesn't exist. On
right. But yeah, so yeah, we're doing some zombie comedy, taking it down. So this whole next month is going to be all lighter side stuff. It's going to be all horror comedy stuff. So if you're into that stuff, stay tuned. We're doing some classic horror comedy, old school stuff. We're doing some new age stuff. We're doing Fright Night. People ooh, like Fright Night.
Love Fright Night.
There you go. Of which I've seen the original and I've seen the remake, but I did not see the sequel to the original. So,
or the sequel to the remake?
Is there one of those?
Yeah, there is.
Is it out already?
Oh, it's been out.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked it up.
Oh, there's a Fright Night 2.
Yeah, that's the sequel to the original.
No, there's a Fright Night 2 sequel to this. I promise you.
I don't know about that. I think you're smoking drugs.
I mean, it's possible, but there's definitely a remake of the same name in 2011. So, Fright Night 2 New Blood came out in 2013.
I don't even know what it is. So, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
But we're doing the original one, so.
All right, cool.
There you go. So remember, we watch bad movies, so you don't have to.
And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked on the children?
And this is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.
Good night.